Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour. We're going to do our show a little bit differently this evening. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to have a guest. I do have a guest. Doesn't mean that we won't take telephone calls. In fact, we encourage telephone calls here. People say they like to listen and don't want to interrupt the flow. But we're going to talk about some things tonight which are pretty important. There's all kinds of news out there. And to be honest with you, from my perspective, none of it makes any sense. It's all disinformation. It's all chatter. It's all a bunch of noise. And some of the topics have to do with things that are very near and dear to many of your hearts, I'm sure, and I don't mean to belittle what is important to you, a particular cause that you're interested in, that something that you might support financially, could be a charity, could be some cause like helping children, orphans, poor people, those that have got the short end of the stick when they came to this planet in general. What I'm speaking about is more using a discernment as to why these things are going on and how they're going on. And we talk about these topics every night on the show in some manner or fashion. And yet we seem to be on a hamster exercise wheel or a treadmill, and we're just marking time in one place, and a lot of people are coming late to the party, wanting to know who was there, what songs were played, and in terms of what's going on in the world, there are so many different things going on, but it all really boils down to this oppression of humanity and numerous power struggles between figures and governments and between governments and between nations around the world. And we have visitors coming in from outer space and entities that are interested in seeing how they can exploit the Earth or exploit the people or the Earth's wealth. And there doesn't seem to be a consistent source of the truth. Let's put it that way. Now, we can pray, we can meditate, we can talk to God and hope God hears us and he responds to us. And yet we expect answers as if we're owed those answers. And yet we have to question if we have done our part in deserving those answers or earning God's blessings. Now, he bestows them upon everyone, but we sever the connection to our Creator. Time and again, this is really what our world's problems are about, is that we have been hoodwinked into accepting a satanic plan, which is supported by worldwide warfare on the people, on the world's resources, on the world's abundance, and we violate every single law throughout the universe in terms of God's creation and expect to be rewarded or expect to have some special dispensation. The gentleman I invited on the show tonight has been through the mill. He's fought in Vietnam as a Marine, a U.S. Marine, and he has taken it upon himself along with his expertise in electronics and real estate and many, many other topics that have interested him. He's taken it upon himself to take a stand for what is right and to stand up against the oppressors of mankind. He has his own radio show, which is on Monday through Friday on Wind Walkers Radio and also on Blog Talk Radio. And I have been a guest on his show a couple of times now, and he's been here to Evident Footprints as well as with Greg Evenson on occasion in the recent past. And his show, A Marine's Disquisition, is heard around the world. And since he's been here on Evident Footprints, my audience also goes around the world. I'm grateful and thankful for the work he does, and I'm proud to bring back my good friend, Mr. Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show.
I'm here.
You know, I can't tell much difference between Woody Woodpecker and you, I have to tell you.
we gotta lighten the atmosphere out there a little bit.
Yes, well, you...
And I appreciate the kudos there. You left out a few things, like I drove a truck over the road when I left the government agencies for about 3 years. I owned a sandwich produce company in California for the construction companies that go out and where they've got these sandwich companies that haul these what are commonly referred to as a roach coach that delivers that brings food out to the work sites during the lunch hour.
Mm-hmm.
And these trucks are like they bring hot food to the working class, so the working class don't have to leave the job site and take an hour drive to go to a restaurant and force the food down. They can actually just walk out to the truck, get something to eat and eat there on the job site. It also, you know, I had about 16 sandwiches that were being made, and I had a net profit on the sandwiches of 10 cents, and I made roughly $400 a week.
Hmm.
And so that gives you an idea of how many people are buying sandwiches in California.
And that, now you owned your own roach coat?
I had 3 delis manufacturing sandwiches for me. I would pick the sandwiches up between 0100 and 0300 hours or in the morning, deliver them to the to like places like Canelli Foods in Monterey and in Huntington Beach to these food outlets and I delivered these sandwiches to them at between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. And then at between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m., I would take orders for the next day's delivery and get those orders over to the sandwich companies. And then I would have the rest of the day off. I usually went to bed around 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 o'clock latest, and I'd hit the deck at about midnight and get my my act together and go pick up all my sandwiches.
My goodness, the life of a roach coach owner.
yeah. And I did that thinking that was, you know, and really I was making so much money doing that. It was a big difference from being in the Marine Corps where I had to be at work on a military base at 0700 hours, and I was on call 24/7. This was mine. I worked from Sunday night until Friday morning at 9, and I had time off. I literally had so much time on my hands, I learned how to fly a small Piper plane from the Huntington Beach Airport, less than 3 blocks from my house. I jogged on the beach with people like Steve McQueen. It was a grand lifestyle for about a year, and then a couple of the sandwich companies or the delis that was making my sandwiches thought that they could make more profit, thinking I was really getting filthy rich out there. They decided they would not make sandwiches for me anymore, so I had to close my little delivery business. And I moved off to Las Vegas, Nevada to sell diamonds for a diamond investment company.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm sorry I left all that out. Okay. Drew.
But you have to understand where I come from that is I learned that that finances is fleeting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You have to go where the money is, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's all like, you know, it was teaching me that even though you make a lot of money, if you leave God out of the equation, you lose what you've got, or maybe there's a lesson that God wants you to learn, but he doesn't want you to be in California or Nevada anymore. He wants you to know about these places, and you move on, and it's like he kind of nudges me out the door.
Mm-hmm.
So well, I got nudged out the door, and I ended up over here. I had to tell you those things, Don, because to let you know that I've had a full life. I haven't just sat back and been a carpenter just built houses and not appreciated what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that go out there, and that's all they do. They manufacture and work on cars. They work on building homes, but they don't appreciate what they do.
Yeah, and they likely haven't had the kind of diversity that you've had. Throughout.
And God was teaching me all these things, like, you know, I can help design a home and help people build a house, you know, not necessarily one that they would like to be built in the modern sense, but how about a house out of dirt and rock and out of a cave? How about learning how to bake bread and know the difference of what will happen to bread in cool weather versus warm weather and versus making bread with no yeast and having a bread product for you to have for lunch all the way up to growing food in a garden in a desert climate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't talked about baking bread on this show, but we have talked about growing food.
I've got some great recipes.
Well, our topic for discussion was something that you and I touched on earlier today, and
got to tell the audience that we talk off air.
Well, yeah, of course they presumed that we weren't on the air talking about this, or they'd have heard it. So. You and I, off the air, had a discussion about this phenomenon that's going on. And I have to tell you that some other people I've talked to are sensing the same thing. We get bombarded with information, and everybody's trying to figure out what's going on. That is, those of us that are paying attention to what's going on. You and I, and I know of a few other people that are having this experience where wherever we go, we start seeing the same things. In other words, if we're looking on the internet for new information, maybe little hints as to what's going on and what might be coming up in the near future, what Congress is doing, what new oppressive laws are being created, those types of things, and how are we going to counter this? And you start to see that it's just an unending pattern of not just corruption, but these secret plans to take over the world without anybody realizing what's going on. And it's very difficult to find a reliable source because the corruption and the lying and the deceit is so profound that you end up mistrusting everything, and it really forces us to go within, to look within ourselves. We come back to that fundamental principle of talking to God and discerning what's going on through the gifts that God has given us. We rely so much on information from other people, and I'm not saying that that's not important, but there seems to be a logjam, is what I'm saying, and all this information on the information highway seems to be going around in circles, sort of like a hamster wheel, as I sometimes describe it. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, I agree with you 100% because I do a news and views letter every morning, and sometimes it gets very depressing. I've actually had a number of people that were subscribers, and it's free, by the way. I mean, free. And I've had a number of subscribers send me notices that they didn't want the news and views anymore for reasons like they didn't agree with what the stories were. They were blaming me for what was being put out by news medias around the world. And they didn't like all the negative information that they were receiving that was not being published by American newspapers. So it rhymes with what you're saying is that we have to, you and I, specifically look for within ourselves to understand where we are, and that we chose to be here at this time to fight the evil that is trying to take down the good of what our Creator has created. And when you look at the vast universe and the size of the universe, there are planets out there, Don, that are so big that the sweat off of the beetle on the back of a grain of sand is about the size of our sun compared to the size of these planets. And God's created all of this, and yet He takes time to monitor what goes on this little blue globe. And there are arrogant people on this globe that feel that with this supreme omnipotent universal creator, that He only created man on this one little blue globe. And this is the only globe in the entire universe that can support life. No, I feel, and some of my friends feel, that we're here fighting an evil being because it is a war of spiritual principalities on control, and the evil was placed here on this planet, and for some reason, angels have to go through this planet to fight in this great universe.
Yes.
That's what I see.
Yeah. The Apostle Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And that certainly is evident today. It was evident 2,000 years ago. And I suppose you could go back 500,000 years and find the same pattern over and over again. We seem to have memorized all the oppression and murder and genocide that's occurred on this planet, and all the little things that add up to one big thing, to the extent that if we don't wake up, it's going to be the end of humanity.
Agreed. And there have been people that have been prominent in our lives attempting to utilize their talents to wake man up. Rod Sterling, for instance. Many people look to Rod Sterling as just a science fiction writer. But he had morals in his movies, or especially his television and radio shows of the early 1960s, Rod Sterling put a 30 minute episode where a man, it was a man in the United States, but the point being is a man was on a drive with his dog and was running out of gas, and he happened on a little community town. To make a long story short, this particular town was occupied from beings from another world, but they were the good guys. They were there looking out for man on this planet, and they had a device that would help feed the world and help save lives and cure diseases and everything. But in the course of the events, the man that had lost his way was offered the opportunity to live in this paradise, but instead he wanted to steal the little apparatus and take it out and give it to the rest of the world, and in doing so he committed murder three times trying to get what these beings from another universe, which was trying to let him know that man was not capable of understanding these devices, and because of the greed and the personal desire to be seen as the one that developed something was take over, and the man didn't believe, you know, didn't understand it. But the way the story ended was the three men that he killed were brought back to life. Because this machine had the capabilities of doing so, but it also had the capability of sending a person back through time and forget his, and when he was brought back through time, he would also lose his memory of everything that happened forward in time. And that's the way that particular episode ended. And I see that today because I personally believe that we have beings out there that are here watching us and care about man on this earth, that care about what we do, and they don't want us to destroy this planet, but at the same time they have a code of ethics where they're not going to get involved. And you personally have been involved with these people.
Yeah, that you're referring to the May 29th, 2009 show, where we heard from a member of the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon. And I happened to listen to your show today, and you got a call or an IM from a lady who was asking if that really happened. And I thought what you said cracked me up. This is something you have to check out. I mean, and I think you handled it well because you didn't want to really go into the topic. It wasn't
my show. It wasn't my place to talk about it. If she wanted to know more, and I've been told that she's listening tonight to hear more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a friend out there, a personal friend that I know that's also listening, that wants to hear more. That, you know, they're open-minded, but sometimes they feel apprehensive about, well, is there really another being in other worlds that will communicate with people, and why would they communicate with Don Nikoloff or Drew Raines or somebody else and not communicate with a president of the United States or a president of Russia or a president of India or the prime minister of China, you know?
Well, there's a lot of answers to those questions. I could answer them all, but I'm sure you can. Yeah, I'm not mocking the person that called in, but what I'm saying is, we go to movies and we see Star Trek, and to a lot of people, this is very real. You know, they worship the actors, who have been in Star Trek and other movies like Star Wars, for example.
Battlestar Galactica.
These characters in the movies become icons of the public, and receive all the adoration like they're heroes. All they are actors, and I'm not qualifying whether they're good actors or bad actors. I'm just saying they're actors, and this script is put before us for a reason, to mold our thought patterns and to get us thinking that those things only happen in the movies. The ideas for the crafts only happen
exactly.
in the movies.
It's like Stargate. Yeah, and the one major star in Stargate after 10 years was James Dean Anderson, or Dean Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
He was also the star of another series that lasted 7 or 8 years called MacGyver. And back in the 70s and early 80s, MacGyver was the show on the air. My mother religiously watched it. And what she was so intrigued about it is she would look to me when I would come in off the road and say, "Did you see the MacGyver show last Wednesday? Didn't you do that when you were at high school?" By the way, did you know that MacGyver blew up a kitchen with some what he called homemade nitroglycerin? Isn't that what you did to the apartment?
Well, not to go off on a tangent, but
yeah, I know. I'm just.
They have created this reality that when people see something in a movie, and then they hear about it or they see it in real life, it can't be real because what they saw.
It was in a movie.
Yeah,
and here's the reason I brought up MacGyver was these things that happened on the MacGyver episodes can be documented and evidenced and done today by, you know, just by watching the show, and all of a sudden the movie of MacGyver can be documented as reality. So if that can be documented as a reality, what is it to say that we aren't visited by extraterrestrials from another universe?
Mm-hmm.
And the lady that was on the show today, after that show was over with, she did a couple of emails to me, and I sent her replies back and sent her to a website where there was an actual painting that sits in the Louvre in France, and in the painting there is a very visible circular flying saucer, for the lack of a better term. And this painting was done in 1463.
Yeah, well, there are ancient hieroglyphics that even hint of those craft coming to Egypt.
That's why I didn't want to go back that far. I wanted you to bring that out, because I mentioned that to somebody else, and they said, "Nobody else believes that."
Well, see, we're not, there's a key word. We're not asking anyone to believe this.
Exactly. I wasn't asking them to believe it. I said, "You don't have to take my word for it. Just go here and look."
You know, it's like the person that lives in a country along the equator, and all they know is searing heat and humidity and this stifling sort of air that accompanies those meteorological conditions. And then they see snow for the first time. They see snowfall, or they see large amounts of snow.
How about ice? Just ice.
Or ice. Well, you know, they may have access to ice because...
No, I'm serious. I have a Marine that I know that lives in South America that got that bought a refrigerator with an ice maker in it. And we're not talking about, you know, some gigantic refrigerator. We're talking about a small little bitty refrigerator with an ice maker in it, and took it out there and ran it off of a solar generator. And the tribal Indians would literally they would see this ice for the first time in their known history. Well, this is something cold. And he made them ice cream from milk, and they had never seen this. And he works as a missionary down in South America, And what amazes him, he says, here I am, I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and just putting in a well and bringing up artesian water is amazing to these people. And to show them that there's ice, they've never seen ice. The old, they bring people from 60 and 70 and 100 miles away that will travel days into the jungle to where his little farmhouse is that he's carved out of the jungle to help the jungle tribes in northern Brazil.
Mm-hmm. Now, when those people that saw the ice talked to people in these other villages, I'm sure some of those people said, that's impossible. That doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And I know that because I watch TV. No,
well, they thought he was God.
Yeah.
You know, here he is. He's got a little niche of land that he has purchased from the Brazilian government, but the land doesn't belong to the Brazilian government. It belongs to God. And he's niched his place out, and what does he do on this, you know, maybe 20 acres of ground? He grows food and vegetables for the poor in the local community cities that are within 20 miles of him. And he feeds the poor.
Yeah, and the government doesn't do that.
The government won't do squat.
Yeah. Well, that's the point we're making here for the listening audience is that we see things in the movies, and they're the movies were created for the very purpose that people have the problem seeing these things. And if it's out of the realm of your experience, that is the issue. It's not whether or not it's true. Just and the ice cube example that Drew just related to us is a good example of that. I'm sure we could come up with many more things. You know, imagine that seeing a radio and hearing music or hearing a voice come out of a little box, you know, out of a transistor radio.
He scared a whole tribe with a portable radio playing music. And the music was Beethoven's Fifth.
See, now I didn't know that. I mean, I'm hearing this story for the first time. But you see, that's logical. That's a logical occurrence. Why is it so impossible for there to be people in other places? Why? I mean,
and see, here we are. We can do if we can do this amongst natives on this planet. And they, you know, we've got all this technology. What is to say that there's not other beings on another planet? I mean, we have what, you know, I don't like calling it the Milky Way, but in this universal area, we're nothing. We're not even a dot within the Milky Way. And the Milky Way is not even a dot in the universe.
Yeah. And you know, when someone comes forward, and they say, you know, I saw this craft and it was flying in the sky last night and it was doing all these really strange, impossible things that I've never seen something in the air do.
Yeah, light speed across the sky, stop,
yeah,
and then go 90 degrees in another direction.
Yeah, and these people will say something to the effect, their peers will say that they're deluded, or they're delusional. They're hallucinating.
Northern Light. The big example. The biggest excuse is, well, that's an aura from the Northern Lights that's shooting a light across the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. There's another example, but we have countless examples. Millions of people have seen these craft that we're talking about. Millions of people have seen beings get out of the craft or having seen them crash.
Outside the United States of America, it gets reported, Don. But in the United States and in Russia and in the United Kingdom and Australia and New Zealand, they don't report these things.
They have too much invested in the Hollywood productions that they use for mind control.
Well, it's not just Hollywood, it's Bollywood over in India. But you're right, it's all about control. It's never about liberty. There's only been one nation ever created for liberty, and we, somewhere along the line, we may have won the greatest war of the world in World War II, but we lost our liberty in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're bringing these issues up here in respect to the lady that IM'd you and asked, you know, if this was true, if this was real. Well, my suggestion would be to listen to the interview, which is posted on my website, directlightproductions.com, and you click on documentaries, and then you'll see the title, Evident Footprints Meets the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon. Evident Footprints is the show, and the Galactic Federation representative, General Jeremiah, called into the show and had a 48-minute conversation. Take the music out, was about 45 minutes. Now, that's
it. Got an IM that just popped up here that comes from a personal friend of mine in New Zealand. We won't tell you who she is. But she says, was this the first time he called you?
Yes, it's absolutely the first time anyone like that called into this show. We get calls from people that, you know, I'm wondering sometimes, but, you know, where they're calling from, really, but just joking. No, this was, you know, it was clearly stated up front, this is not a ruse, this is not a joke. I asked, is this, you're saying this is not a spoof, right? And we were assured. Now, just because he said, no, this is not a spoof, no, this is not a joke, he had some really interesting things to share that I am familiar with, and many in the listening audience are familiar with. It could be a personal experience.
Are you there?
I'm still here. Are you hearing me?
I didn't hear you. You said many in the listening, and I lost you.
Yeah. Well, I was saying many in the listening audience, and the experience that we have, and this is the point I'm trying to make, the experiences that we have are unique to us, even when they're shared in a group situation. You could have 100 people standing, and they'll see something, they'll each see something different. We recommend you use your discernment. We're not flat out expecting you to listen to the show and say, well, it was recorded, it was put on the internet, it must be real. Or the authorities say, well, it's on the internet, so it can't be trusted, it's not real. If that's the case, then Barack Obama's birth certificate's not real. Right?
Oh, yeah. We don't even want to go there.
That's the only place anybody's seen it, is on the internet, okay? And we know, according to Robert Gibbs, that they put it up, according to him. Okay, so...
And it's already been documented as a falsity.
Oh, yeah, I did. I wrote a whole article on it, and I picked it apart. And it's an illegal document, actually. It's fraudulent. It's forged. And so you could nail him with a number of felonies just on putting that document out as a representation of the truth when it's a total fraud. Even his photographs are fraud.
Just his complicity.
Yeah, exactly. But the point we're making here is, here you have people believing that this guy is born in Hawaii, or he's born in Kenya, or you have people saying, well, what does it matter if he was born in Kenya? He's African American. You know, there are people that know so little about the Constitution that they'll make that kind of a statement, or they just say, well, they have his record sealed. What is that, for their safety?
You know. My question is, they've had his record sealed. Well, why wasn't Ronald Reagan's record sealed, or John Fitzgerald Kennedy's record sealed? Or how about Jimmy Carter?
Well, that's because they were born in the United States. They were Americans.
By the way, I got a pop-up IM here telling me that James D. Schuller's Obama lawsuit is coming to futuration on the 26th. It's actually going to be heard by a court.
Is that a state court or a federal court?
Federal court. Supreme Court of the United States.
Hmm. Well, you know, and case after case gets shoved aside, you know.
Over the air, I'm going to ask Jimmy to send me the link, and I'll post it on my News and Views tomorrow morning.
Okay. Anyway, coming back to this topic, okay, and we're all over the place. There's really no restrictions as to what we can talk about. But, you know, to answer the issue that the lady was asking on your show earlier this evening as to whether or not this event was real, yes, it was a real event. This person is who he says he is, and some of the questions about meeting leaders, you have to assume that they have been met, but they're not going to go on national TV and show this because they've been lying to us.
The leaders have been lying to us,
yeah.
not the galactical,
yeah.
the galactical president.
Yeah. Our leaders,
just the American leaders,
our government,
or the world leaders.
This is one of the biggest cover-ups of all time. I have to say, one of the, because the biggest one is the money they're stealing. And they're doing this for the purpose of destroying the world. Really, that's what they're doing. This is not benefiting anyone but themselves, or in their deluded minds, they feel they are. Ultimately, they have this special sacred dispensation to do this to the rest of.
And I got an IM here that says, "What you mean they're trying to destroy the world? But if they're destroy the world, then why would they? What would happen to them?"
Well, you'd have to ask them that. You see, you'd have to ask them, or you'd have to ask God. It's certainly not up to us what happens to them. Okay? They've made the game that way. Now, we could change that by deciding that it is up to us, or we could leave it to God and let God handle it, but there's always the possibility that they're going to flee to another place. Mars, for example, and if you listen to the interview with the general, he describes what's going on Mars. I've talked about that for 2 years on this show. Not every night, but it's come up a number of times with people that have talked to people that say they've been up there. You see? He talked about things going on the moon, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we are the ones doing those things. And I can tell you from what I have seen, and I have seen photographs that NASA hasn't published of Mars. I have a picture that has an alien serial number on it, and it's on my website. It's a picture of Mars, and you can see an ancient amphitheater, something that looks like an amphitheater, and then a stadium or another venue for either sports or maybe music or something like that. But there are also images of whole cities and crops and the terrain, not the orange red pictures that they show us. Mars looks a lot like Earth, and here I published some pictures of another planet, and I don't want to call the guy what I really think of him, but let's just say someone who's a bit challenged in that area says that those are pictures of Hawaii. All right, now, I don't know how much it snows in Hawaii, you know, we were told even that many of those planets in our galaxy, and I'm not talking about in our solar system, in our galaxy, look very much like Earth. And you will see, even on Mars, there are scenes that look just like the southwestern desert, for example, and likely the result of a nuclear war. And someone along the line determined that it was safe to go there under certain conditions and develop a colony. And this is just knowing from within, that there were about 3 million people up there, and that was confirmed. Okay? So, again, listen to the interview. I made it in a sort of a documentary so you could see the pictures. You could see many of the pictures were given to me by these folks. There are people in other parts of the universe. God is not so feeble or dumbed down himself to have only created us. And if we are the only creation, such creation in the universe, God made a real big mistake when he made us. He really made some mistakes. And I'm not saying that he doesn't know it. He's given us free will, and we're not using it. That's the point.
Well, we've got alien structures just as close as on the moon itself, and we have to talk about this because that this is going to be one of the questions that if you ever have another galactical questionnaire, a show, and you have an open line, I'm going to call in to discuss the Orion Belt around Earth and how the fact that we're not able to escape through this belt.
You mean the Van Allen Belt?
The Van Allen Belt, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I stand corrected. You know, I don't have all my notes in front of me. This is just from memory here. But the Van Allen Belt is out there to keep the evil. It was put there by God to keep the evil beings here because we don't have... My question or my statement is I don't feel that we've gone to the moon in as much as we've got documentation that says we did. But I look at the unmanned aircraft that went to the moon and shot pictures and... From those photographs, I have seen and able to ascertain something that looked like a glass structure on the moon because of its reflection and what and distortion of the stars is seen through the camera lens going through the glass. But I cannot believe that man has gone outside the Van Allen Belt because of the massive amount and the speed of particles that fly through space. It's been documented by MIT scientists from the Missouri Institute of Technology, not the the Massachusetts, by CIT scientists, that's the California Institute of Technology, that a particle the size of a nickel flying through a vacuum in space would penetrate 3 inches of steel.
Yeah, and they wouldn't survive that.
So if we sent a man, three men to the moon, the possibilities of them being hit by a nickel-sized meteorite are astronomical possibilities. And yet we're supposed to believe that we sent three men to the moon on several occasions and that two of those men were able to walk around on the moon in cloth, vacuum-sealed cloth uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, when I was 13 years old, I believed it. But when I turned 30 years old and started studying at the universities, I realized that they were lies.
Yes. Now, regarding ships, there are ships that the governments own here on this planet and have been back-engineered from craft that came from other realms. Who do you suppose was flying those crafts? I think it's self-explanatory, isn't it?
Correct.
Okay. So, you know, we have to look at all the different scenarios. And there are people that have seen beings that are not human. You know, when they describe the phenomenon of men in black wearing a black suit and a black tie with a white shirt and having skin that looks every bit as pale as the white shirt, and sort of, you know, wearing sunglasses and having these strange abilities, you know, related to mind control and you know, the dark side of metaphysics. These are entities that are making themselves appear as human beings. They're not human. And the people that have seen these individuals and many, many accounts of this, and they always ring true. Now, with the exception of what is an intentional disinformation out there, just to get people focused on this. And you can usually tell when that's the case by who these people are that sign in to these blog sites, because there are disinformation agents that come out on the ufology sites, they're on the religion sites, they're on the educational sites, they're on the political sites, they're everywhere. And that's all they do is foment their tripe for the consumption of the unsuspecting public or the people out there that are really searching for answers. And they come across something that sort of sounds true because maybe some actual details are left out.
Here's your question right up your alley.
Okay.
What is the world leaders doing with the knowledge that these beings exist and not informing the people?
Okay, well, you're asking why are they keeping this secret from the people? Well, because they made miscalculations along the way. And now, we've been told these stories that this has happened recently, like 1954. And Harry Truman and Dwight Eisenhower and the presidents in those days were forced into these compromising situations where they had to make a treaty with these beings in exchange for technology. Now, that occurred, but these beings have been here for thousands and thousands of years. This is not a new phenomenon that just started. And you see, if you compare your calendar of these events occurring in the 1950s, and think about where technology was in those days, and think about what was in the movies or on television, and the Twilight Zone and The Outer Limits were not around at that time. Okay, I don't even think Leave It to Beaver was out then yet. So what we experienced technologically was a lot different from what was going on behind the scenes. You could just about assume that what we have as consumers today in our hands for technology was actually in the hands of the military and the secret governments way back then. Think about Nikola Tesla, what he was doing in the late 1800s and up to his death in 1943. He made many of the inventions that make all of these things possible, and they were stolen by the governments. So the government would have to admit that they lied to us. But you see, we know they lie to us. So we don't really require an admission. It's as though we're waiting for them to finally start telling us the truth. It's not going to happen. It will not happen.
Well, Don, let me ask you a question. With all of this reverse technology, what is their goal? Because you've played all the way into my hand with Nikola Tesla. You're talking to a gentleman that works with Nikola Tesla's writings. I have about 150 documents of, or not documents, 150 combined patents. There's like 400 pages here. Of patents that he filed in the 1911 to 1919, you know, in that era, as well as all the way into the 1920s. One of these things that I'm looking at is a laser pistol. a laser pistol that he's designed that will pull up, and it looks like a pistol. It really looks like a pistol.
Well, he had a little earthquake machine that was probably the size.
And I've got this. The earthquake machine is nothing more. It's not even the size of a shoebox for a set of boots.
Oh, he had one the size of a pack of cigarettes that would fit in a shirt pocket. And he could take that little machine and put it up against the building and just cause all of Manhattan to rumble.
I have a news article from the New York Times where Nikola Tesla was evicted from a apartment complex because he was playing with something, and it doesn't say in the news article, Nikola Tesla was founded to be the culprit of shaking the building.
Yeah, it was
shaking the building. This is 1906.
Yeah. And that was a pretty big building, I'm sure.
According to from memory, I think it was 24 stories tall.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time in 1906, that's one heck of a big building.
Yeah. Now there was this one occasion where he let this thing off. I think it was when he had his lab on 8th Street, and that was the one that burned down.
Right.
While he was in Colorado Springs. Well, of course, they stole his inventions and they burned the place down. You know.
I can agree with all of this because 90% of all of his inventions that were unpublished were stolen upon his death, and it's like the laser pistol. The military now has the United States military is developing a laser weapon, but where did all the drawings and all the practical use come from? I feel it came from Nikola Tesla, and the military has not had the scientists in the military to move forward on the development of the laser weapon that Nikola Tesla had in the 1920s.
Yeah, he was very careful to couch how these things worked in the language and or leave out important details, because he knew that his inventions would be used for malevolent purposes, we'll say.
Well, it's like the electric car in 1934. He sat down on the passenger side with a box about the size of a shoebox, with a wire that came out of it. It's plugged directly into the cigarette lighter, and the another wire came out of it, and he attached it to the ground on the car, which was the glove box. And they drove the car out about 40 miles and back. An electric car.
Yeah, well, they couldn't sell oil. They couldn't sell gasoline.
But what happened to the car still exists. It's in the Smithsonian. But what happened to the box? What happened to this electrical box that created this power for this car?
Mm-hmm.
See, there's a lot of questions and answers that I have for Jeremiah, and asking why, or is he going to help us? Because I feel George Washington is I've got this thing about George Washington. A lot of people want to condemn George Washington, but why are you condemning George Washington when he sat down and prayed fervently daily for his men? He prayed for going into battle. George Washington was not any great general. He couldn't hold a thumb to George Patton. Robert E. Lee was probably the best renowned general of military tactics in American history, because he studied today at all of the military universities.
Mm-hmm.
And his tactics, if he would have had the military support of men and armament, the battles that Robert E. Lee lost, he wouldn't have lost.
Yeah.
Now even some of the military tactics used by Genghis Khan are studied in our universities, in our war colleges today, because they were apropos then, they're apropos now. And why all of this had come forth, and why do I bring all of this forward, is George Washington had this vision about seeing, for the lack of a better term, spirits come and help the men that came down from the mountains to take back America. And when I say take back America, take back the North American continent from the evil that it was attacking it from around the world. And if it hadn't been for these beings and coming in and helping the men from the mountains, America would have been lost forever.
Yeah.
And that scenario has yet to happen.
Well, you asked me a question, which I was going to answer.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just want to bring us back to the topic here in our remaining moment.
You got to understand, I get going, and I want to keep on going. Give me 4 hours.
Okay. Well, we've got a couple of minutes here. First of all, let's presume that because you're not aware of these people in general, that they don't exist, number one. Number two, since you're not necessarily aware that they exist, you would have no reason to even consider what they might be doing. So you would, for them to be doing something, or the possibility of them doing something, for example, helping us with whatever, you would have to acknowledge that they exist. That's a given, okay?
Well, wait a minute, I do acknowledge that. Well,
you do. But there are some out there that are questioning whether or not this is true, and if it is true, why doesn't the government? The government lies. I don't know how else to put it. They lie about everything. It's not that they just lie about some things. They lie about everything because they have to be secret, to do what they intend to do to us. They have to lie. They have to lie about what they're doing, what they're intending, what they've done. And there is no other condition, I guess, in terms of time.
Doug says he's going to make sure a straitjacket comes over for me. What's my size?
So it's for you. All right. So because they are doing things and they are helping humanity in ways that you cannot imagine, but will probably be disclosed on a later show, you have to assume that because you're not seeing it doesn't mean it's not going on. Because it's outside of your current experience doesn't mean it's not happening. Now, when you find out that these are people, they look like us, maybe a little different eyes or a little different hair, probably very healthy because they're not exposed to what the toxicity that we're exposed to. They probably look surprisingly healthy and surprisingly young, especially those that are over 500 years old. And there are some of those people that are that age. So until that moment comes, I guess the first thing is to consider the possibility, the great overwhelming possibility, that life exists elsewhere. And that many people are learning this now as part of their everyday experience. And we've been lied to about it for reasons that we're lied to about it. In other words, the lie has to be perpetuated because of the end that's planned for us. Okay? And this is the truth. When you're lied to, it's because the person lying to you doesn't want you to know the truth. So the lie represents the truth. And when you get enough people for a long enough time, through repetition and and nonstop programming, which is what's going on with Obama's picture these days, then you'll see that that these things are real, that there are people around our planet, many ships, and from many diverse places in this galaxy. I'm not saying they're from all over the universe. In a spiritual sense, absolutely, that's what I'm saying. But in the physical realm, these people are multidimensional beings that are far more intelligent than we are. They have technology beyond our comprehension, and they use the technology for the purpose the technology was created. Not to take life, not to destroy what is good in God's creation. Now, will they fight evil? Yes, they will. Are they fighting evil? You better believe they are. We heard an account of
quick question. Are there good guys and bad guys?
Is that a serious question?
That's a serious question. The question is, and from this is a serious question, are there good guys and bad guys in the Galactical Confederation?
Well, what's the saying in the Bible? As it is in heaven, so it is on earth. I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
We're on the same page, Don. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to make sure that you got this question, because this is a military man asking you.
Yeah. Do we have good and evil on this planet? That would be.
And I agree. Yeah, we do.
Okay.
And what he's asking here is, are there good? There are good extraterrestrials and bad extraterrestrials.
Oh, absolutely.
How are we to know the difference?
Well, we've got the bad ones down here with us right now. That's one way to measure. Okay. You see, this military person is obviously, or hopefully, heard of the shadow government. Okay, who pulls their strings? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Who pulls their strings? Okay, why is there this this obsession over gold on this planet? And this is directly related to the malevolent beings that have been on this earth for thousands of years. This is not a new phenomenon that started in 1954. This has been going on for thousands of years, and it's written in our ancient history books, in our ancient literature. It's written about, and it's not myth. This is not mythology here.
Well, even Justice Felix Frankfurter, United States Supreme Court, just in the 1920s, he quote, the real rulers in Washington are invisible and exercise their power from behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I know we got to wrap the show up.
Yes, we do. But I just wanted to point that out. Now, you're asking me for the answer, and I'm going to say, I'm not going to ask you to believe what I'm saying. Do some research. Look into these things.
And we both do that. Both of us tell you in the audience, don't take our word for it. Go do your own due diligence and research. That's why I give you the articles on my News and Views. My website, the 3Ws, amd.elequity.com. Come visit. Listen to my show in the afternoon, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, USA. And that's all I got to say. I appreciate it, Don.
Yeah, and I would also recommend going to my website, directlightproductions.com. There's pictures you can look at, photographs, genuine photographs. There's a ton of stuff that I've written on these topics. And there's also some interesting history lessons there too, under the article.
For financial support, those of you that win the lotto, I'll take 1%, 1/10 of 1% of what your net earnings are.
Well, Drew, we got to wrap here, but you're going to be on again next Wednesday, and I'm sure we can continue this conversation. The intention is not to upset anyone out there or belittle anyone. Do your own thinking here, But open your heart. Open, you know, talk to God. God will reveal many things to you. And what has been hyped into a frenzy of disbelief is a very simple, real, natural thing that's going on. The whole universe is teeming with life. It doesn't exist in this sadistic little corner, this dysfunctional corner of the universe. And there are beings from planets all over this galaxy right now, from 574 different planets, watching what's going on here on planet Earth. And they watch what we do, and they watch what we don't do. And therein lies our future. Drew, thank you very much for being on the show. I look forward to you. Your next appearance next Wednesday.
Well, you're welcome to come join me with my little jog in the morning. So,
All right, Drew, I'm going to say good night. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and on many stations around the world. We want to thank everyone for tuning in. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning into the show. Join us again tomorrow night when my special guest will be Mr. Ken Adachi.